Now, if you do, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Or on your hands, just stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We believe that there's one God, and His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm still excited because He saves. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I'm glad that Jesus still saves. He's the Redeemer. Amen. And we depend on Him tonight. Amen. Well, thank you. God bless you. Appreciate you being here. Good to see Brother and Sister Godare here tonight again. God bless you. Amen. All the home folks, I'm glad you're here. We're looking forward to a good time in the Word of the Lord tonight. Amen. All right. Upper Room youth and kids can. You can go to your prospective classes. Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord again? But we had a time Sunday, didn't we? We couldn't find a stopping place. Amen. I don't know if that'll happen tonight or not. You may get through earlier than I do. Ideas to both get through at the same time. If we can do that, we've accomplished something. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. We are doing a study on Revelation. And I want to go tonight to the fifth chapter. And ambitiously, we are going to try to do this whole chapter in one service. I know I can do that in less than 3 hours. Amen. I'll try to do it a whole lot less than that even. Amen. Like I said, we want to get to it at the same time. So, amen. But we'll endeavor to do it by the time it's time to go home. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. I want to title this tonight, The Redemption, The Redeemer, and The Redeemed. The Redemption, The Redeemer, and The Redeemed. God bless you. You may be seated. John, as we learned in chapter 4, is now in heaven. And he is seeing things from a heavenly perspective. He's still seeing what's happening on the earth, but he's seeing it from up there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So something exciting is going on. Now, he's talking about heaven first. Now, we're going to get back to earth here in a little bit, but right now, he's talking about the things he saw up there. And he said, the first thing he saw when he got there was he saw a throne, and he saw one sitting on the throne. And here in chapter 5, he's still talking about the throne. And he noticed that the one that was sitting on the throne, he had in his right hand a book. Now, remember that in the Bible, in the time that John wrote this, they used scrolls. You've seen scrolls. They were long pieces of usually vellum or leather. And they're long pieces, long strips. And they would just write on that. And, of course, it was rolled, and you would unroll it to the place you wanted to read, and you'd read from there. But somewhere along the line, somebody got real smart and said, hey, if we'd cut that up in little pieces and bind it together, we could have a codex or a book. That's what we have right now. Christians are credited with that, and I can understand why, because you can imagine preacher up there getting anxious to preach, Brother Neil, and he said, let's turn to, and he gives you the scripture, and everybody's unrolling their thing. It takes them 45 minutes, they're still looking. So he learned, if I can just get it in a book, I can get there quick. I don't know if that's the way it happened, but it's a good imagination. But nonetheless, of course, John was talking about a scroll when he says a book, and it wasn't till much later that this style, called a codex, was invented. And I'm glad that we have the book we have today, aren't you? I like it this way a whole lot better. So, he saw it, and he noticed the first thing. It was written on both sides. And the second thing he noticed about it, he said it was sealed with seven seals. Now the way they did that, and this is a specific kind of a book. When God gave the inheritance to Israel, you remember, before they went in the promised land, the land was divided among families. Every family of every tribe received an inheritance. And the Lord said, now that is going to be yours forever. You're not ever to sell that. That's yours. That I'm giving you that land. And sometimes people, the Lord looked ahead and he knew how people are. He knew that people could get in a little trouble and they'd want to sell stuff. And so there were people that did that, and he knew that sometimes they would sell their land. So God made a law, Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8. He said, thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years, and the space of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. So the Lord said, I'm going to give you 49 years. That's as long as you can sell your land for. At the end of 49 years, everything is going to go back to the original owner. Praise God. So if you wanted to buy some land for somebody, and he was a Jew, and you were buying his inheritance, you could only buy it for 49 years. That was it. Because the Lord said, I'm not doing this. This is yours. Nobody's going to take it away from you. And even if you have a relative that's not very smart and they give it up, it'll only be given up for 49 years and it'll go back to where it started. So he said in verse 9, and thou shalt cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land, and ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee. Everybody say jubilee. It shall be a jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man to his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. And so he's talking here about the land being redeemed. Everybody say redeemed. The word redeemed means bought back. Bought back. Now, there was a provision for redemption before the year of Jubilee. And that is, if a man died, and it was going out of his family, someone that was in his family could redeem that. That's what happened, if you remember in the book of Ruth. Remember that Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion and Esther, not Esther, what was her name? Naomi. Yeah, it was her. Bitter, her name, Mara. So Naomi, they all took a journey. Remember that? Got over there, and of course Elimelech died right away, and then his two boys died, and it was just Naomi. And Naomi comes back, and her daughter-in-law Ruth comes with her. They get back. They have nothing because they gave it up. Amen. But the Lord directed Ruth to labor in the field of a man called Boaz. I don't think they really planned this, but in the field of Boaz happened to be a near kinsman. Amen. To Elimelech. And so when he found out who Ruth was, and to make the long story short, He was a man that had the qualifications to redeem the land and to buy it back. And he did that. Praise the Lord. So when we see this seven seal book, two things. It started out as two scrolls, wound one. It was a scroll about the inheritance. It told all about the inheritance. It told the reason that it was being sold. It was everything was in there, all the details about the hard times and everything that was in it. And then it was rolled up and it was sealed. And then there was another scroll that was given that would list the qualifications that were necessary and the credentials to buy that back. By the time of Jesus, two scrolls had become one scroll. So on the inside, they would write the story of why it was lost and how it was lost. And then on the other side, they would tell what it would take to get it back. So here he's holding this scroll. What is that scroll? Brother Neil, I believe the scroll is the book of redemption. It's everything that we lost. Amen. God never planned for Adam to lose. God never planned for Eve to sin. God never planned for them to die. I want you to understand something tonight. Death is not God's idea. God never intended for Adam to die. God never intended for any human being to die. God created you for eternity. Amen. That's why he put that in you tonight. All of us have eternity in us. Amen. We long for a better place. We long for something more than this. Amen. No matter who you are, because there's something inside of you that God put in there. He made you a creature of eternity when he breathed life into you. That was never God's plan. God never planned for the earth to be like it is today. God never planned droughts. God never planned floods. God never planned ice caps on the polar regions. Amen. That was never the plan of God. God never planned weeds to grow. That's right. It was because of sin, wasn't it? God told Adam, he said, the ground is cursed for your sake. Amen. He said, it's going to grow thorns and thistles. You don't believe it, I'll show you some. Amen. Thorns and thistles. He said, they're going to grow. Did you know that I think it's either a grass spur or a goat head, one or the other, that it has enough, it produces enough seed that it'll last 7 years. So if it gets a bad year, next year it won't come up. Then the next year it'll come up. And if it don't come up the next year, 7 years it can come up. Now that don't happen with most things, but it happens with them. It happens with something you don't want. Amen. It just has that potential, doesn't it? So the ground was cursed for man's sake. And an animal life. You know, I don't believe in the Garden of Eden. I don't believe that wasps stung and mosquitoes bit. Amen. I don't believe they did. Not originally. The Bible said nothing hurt. And believe me, a yellow jacket hurts. And a red wasp hurts worse than that. And a scorpion hurts worse than that. Amen. God didn't create those things to be that way in the beginning. That was all a part of the curse. Amen. Praise God. So it's lost, but hey, I'm telling you tonight, there is a redemption. Hallelujah. There is a redemption. Jesus said, when you see these things coming to pass, he said, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. He promised us that there's going to be a redemption. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul said, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You know what the Holy Ghost is? It's a sealing agent that seals us, amen, and protects us and says, you're mine. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. When you get the Holy Ghost, the Lord puts a stamp on you that says, this one's mine. Praise the Lord. It's somewhere on there. Amen. I got a stamp. Praise the Lord. It's better than good housekeeping seal of approval. Amen. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus is stamped on us by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we are sealed. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our... Everybody say the earnest. You know what an earnest is? That's a down payment. If you want to go buy something, you don't have all the money. And the guy says, well, if you'll just give me $100, I'll hold it for you. Amen. Now, if you don't come back, I get the $100. Right? So you better be earnest. You better really want that, because you're getting ready to lose $100 if you don't go back and come up with the rest of the money and go get it. So it's the earnest of our inheritance. In other words, it's the down payment. Hey, this Holy Ghost is pretty good. What do you think? He said, but this is just the beginning of it. You think this is good? There's a whole lot more waiting. Hallelujah. This is just the beginning of it, he said. The earnest of our inheritance until what? The redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. What is the redemption? What's the purchased possession? The church. How was it purchased? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are awaiting a redemption today. Praise the Lord. How many of you remember green stamps and S&H green stamps and gold bond stamps? Remember that? Yeah, you remember you go to the grocery store and you'd buy so many, they'd spit out a bunch of stamps and you'd take that and you'd stick that in your book and you'd get your redemption catalog and you'd look in there and you'd find something you wanted and you'd look over and see how many books it took. And when you had enough stamps, you'd go down to the redemption center and you would redeem that. And you'd pay a price. You'd give them whatever they asked for it, and then you could have what you wanted. You redeemed it. It was yours. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what Jesus did for us. Praise the Lord. He paid the price. He said, how much is it going to cost? And then He paid the price for your redemption and for my redemption. And He bought us back. The Bible says that we were sold under sin. Amen. We were slaves under sin. But Jesus bought us back again. Amen. We have a redemption today. I love this verse, Romans 8:21. He said, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know, get this, for we know the whole creation. If I say the whole creation. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The earth groans. Every now and then it'll shake so hard we'll have an earthquake. And every now and then it'll get so hot that we'll have a tornado. And we'll spawn hot water and cold water come together and we'll have a hurricane. What is that? What's happening? The earth's groaning. It's travailing. It's saying, I don't like this condition. I want it to be like it was when I was first created. I want to go back to the beginning again. Amen. Praise God. It's travailing. It's groaning. It's moaning. It's saying, let's go back again. Amen. But one of these days, hey, it's not just flesh and blood that's going to be redeemed. The whole creation's going to be redeemed. Last Wednesday, we studied about the Zoa. The Zoa, those four living creatures that stood at the throne praising God. Remember those? They represent all life. One had the face of a man. He represents, of all things, man. The other one had the face of a lion. He represents the lion kingdom or the wild beast kingdom. The other had the face of an ox. He represented all of the domesticated animal life. And the fourth one had the face of an eagle. And he represented, of course, all of the bird kingdom. And so they're all there. Heaven is waiting for redemption. Earth is waiting for redemption. Amen. Somebody said something's going on with the sun. I read an article last week and it said we don't know what's going on with it. Amen. Well, I'm glad that I'm a believer today. Praise God. If the sun goes out, I know the light. I know the one that created. The Bible said that it is going to, believe me. Yes, it is, because the Bible said, we're going to talk about it a little later on, but there's going to be a climatic event that's going to take place in the heavens. Yes, it is. And the Bible said that the Lamb is going to be the light. So one of these days, either the sun's going to go out or he's going to outshine the sun. And it's just going to become a little old dim wattage bulb in the background somewhere. Amen. When God's glory is revealed, so redemption is in the air. That book was about redemption. And it had seven seals. Each one of those seals you'd read down and it would be sealed. And then you'd read another one, you have to undo that and it would be sealed. What we mean by seal is, if you've seen that, it's just a drop of wax. And then you would take a stamp, stamp that with your own personal insignia and your own personal authority. And in that way, if it was ever open, you could tell it was open because the seal would be broken. And the only one that could break the seal is one with authority. Amen. And so that's the book of redemption in the hand of the one that sat on the throne. And then the next verse, the Bible said, a strong angel, everybody say a strong angel, with a loud voice cried out, who is worthy? Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? He asked a question. Verse number 3 said, and no man, everybody say no man, no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to even look thereon. I mean, they couldn't even stand to see it, much less to open it. Hey, there's some pretty smart people on the earth, but nobody was smart enough to open the book. There's some very talented people on the earth, but not one was worthy to open the book. There's some people that have a lot of money, but not one of them was able to open the book. There are people that actually are God living today, but not one of them was worthy to open the book. There are people that are worshipped on the earth today, but not one of them was worthy to open the book. There was not a president. There was not a king. There was not a prime minister. There was not a governor. There was not anybody that could open the book on the earth. And so they looked to heaven. There was not an angel in heaven that was worthy to open the book. So they looked in hell, and there wasn't a creature in hell that was worthy to open the book. And then the next verse, John said, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the book. Amen. This word wept here means that he lamented with deep groanings, agony of soul and anguish. You see, he knew what that book was. He knew it was about redemption. Amen. If I could just find somebody worthy, I could open that book and I could be redeemed. If there were a kinsman redeemer, if there was a Goel, as Job cried out, if I just had a daysman, if I had somebody that could stand between me and God and argue my case before the Lord, I could be redeemed, he said. Amen. Verse 5, it said, and notice this, one of the elders, if I say one of the elders. Now who was it first? It was a strong angel. The angel didn't see it. Amen, but one of the elders. You remember the elders? That's the redeemed, right? That represents all the redeemed in heaven. And so one of the redeemed ones turns around and listen. He said, the elder said, weep not. Woo, everybody say weep not. Don't cry, brother, there's a redeemer. Amen. Don't weep, sister, there's a redeemer. Don't get discouraged, child of God, there's a redeemer. Don't give up on the journey, because there's a redeemer. Don't stop now, because there's a redeemer. Heaven's in view, there's a redeemer. Amen. He said, weep not, John. Now listen, behold, I like this. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. You remember that? When old Jacob laid his hands on his sons and he began to bless them. When he laid his hands on Judah, the spirit of prophecy came upon him. And he said, you're a lion's whelp. Amen. Anybody tackles with you is going to be tackling a lion. Praise the Lord. Amen. I like what Charles Spurgeon said. Somebody asked him one time, they said, Mr. Spurgeon, do you defend the Word of God? He said, yep, I defend it like a lion. He said, what do you mean? He said, I open the cage and let it go. That's the only protection a lion needs. Just open the cage and let him go. Hallelujah. Hey, the Word of God, that's all it needs today. It just needs somebody to speak it. It just needs somebody to say it. It has power in itself. It has life in itself. It doesn't need any defense. Amen. Didn't the Lord say it? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. He said, my word shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I have sent it to accomplish. One thing you can count on, folks, is the word of the Lord. I can't believe that there are Christians that are leaving the word of God to believe the word of science. Hadn't you learned by now? How many times has science changed just in your lifetime? Huh? How many times have you read, don't eat, that'll kill you? And the next time you read, oh, you need to eat three of those a day. What is that, science? Huh? Science? And when I was in high school, they taught me that there were 92 basic elements. Now there's well over 100. Amen. We don't know it all, folks. We don't know it all. Almost every little while I read about they discover some new form of life they didn't even know existed. This last week they finally drilled down through some deep thousand foot of ice, thousands of feet of ice down in Antarctica. And they got down there into some huge reservoir of water. You know what they found in there? They found some new life form. God knows there the whole time. He knows what else is down there. Amen. But we're just now finding out. Everybody's all worried about global warming. And you know, I know the last 3 or 4 years, they've had to keep canceling their council they have because it's too cold. They keep having blizzards and stuff. Amen. About the time we get everybody convinced it's too hot, it starts getting too cold. And then we say we're in another ice age, and about the time we get all bundled up, it starts getting warm again. And God just snickering saying, watch this. You know where I'm going to put my faith? I'm going to put it where I always had it. Right here. Amen. I still believe that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that. I believe with all my heart. Praise God. Amen. And so somebody trying to appease both worlds. And I don't know why I'm getting. I better not get into this. Amen. But I just like it. Amen. I think it's essential to believe Genesis 1 and 1. Amen. If I can't believe that, then I might as well close the book. Because if that's not true, how do I know any of the rest of it's true? And if I'm going to discount that, I might as well just chunk the whole thing. Amen. But I'm going to cling to Genesis 1 and 1 because I know the Lord. I don't know any scientists today, but I know the Lord. Amen. I know the Lord. And I tell you what, He's always come through for me. Amen. Got to go to the doctor in a few days. You know what makes me nervous about going to doctors? Everything. But principally, I think, as they call it, practicing medicine. practicing, and yet they want me to believe in them. And I found that to be true. You know what the first thing the doctor asked when I get in there? He said, "What's wrong?" "Well, that's what I came to find out. You tell me. You're asking me to do all the work here." Amen. They can get you in trouble, can it, Brother Neil? They'll come up with all kinds of weird stuff. Amen. Well, let me, I'm having too much fun. Let me get back to redeeming here. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so he said he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. And so you don't mess with a lion. You don't mess with a lion. Amen. Look, the next thing he said he's the root of David. But I say the root of David. And here's what's interesting. Jesus Christ was born more than 1,000 years after David, and yet he's the root of David. What the word root means is that's where David came from. So how did David come from Jesus if he was born 1,000 years after David? Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said that, didn't he? The Pharisees came trying to trick him, and he said, "How then did David say, amen?" Talking about his son, amen. Praise the Lord. That existed before he did. How did that happen? Amen. I'm telling you how it happened. Because he was God manifest in flesh. So he existed as spirit before David, and he was God in flesh after David, but he was the same God. Amen. He was David's God. He was David's Lord. There's just one God in the Bible. There's just one God in the Bible. Amen. And so he's called here the root of David. Amen. Now why the root of David? Why didn't it say the root of Abraham? He's father of the faithful. Amen. He was the patriarch. Moses was the lawgiver. Elijah was the prince of prophets. But David was a king. Amen. So David, he's called the root of David because he's the king and the king of kings and the Lord of lords. And he wants that established. Amen. He's more than a patriarch, and he's more than a prophet, and he's more than a lawgiver. He's the sovereign. He's the king. Amen. And then he said, he hath prevailed. I like to, everybody say prevailed. That's an interesting word. It's a word nikao in the Greek, coming from the root word Nike. We know the word Nike, right? Anybody wearing Nikes? Yeah, Nike's got that little thing on the side of it, that little symbol. And they're not tennis shoes. That's not what he's talking about. Amen. We also, we have some missiles that are called Nike missiles. Powerful missiles with powerful warheads on them. Because the word Nike means victory. It means to conquer. Hallelujah. But I like this word from the King James where it said, he hath prevailed. What I like about the word prevails, it means that somebody has been in a struggle, but he won. Somebody was in a conflict, but he conquered. Somebody was in a fight, but he overcame. Amen. That's what we're talking about. Jesus Christ. Hell, you hear me tonight? He went through some things while he was on this earth. He didn't have a vacation while he was here. He was born in poverty, born in obscurity, born in difficulty. That they were talking about him and gossiping about him before he was ever born. Amen. His own family didn't completely believe in him. His brothers and sisters apologized and were embarrassed about him. Yes, they were. Many of them were not converted until after his resurrection. Amen. He went through a hard time in life. Amen. He did wonders. He did miracles. And yet People followed him just for his gifts. And whenever they didn't get what they wanted, they were quick to forsake him and leave him alone. Some of the very people that he healed and helped cried out with a crowd saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" He didn't have it easy on this earth, but he prevailed. He prevailed. He knew who he was. He knew what he came to do, and nothing stopped him. He said, "He hath prevailed to open the book, to loose seals." Now, the Bible said in verse 7, it said in the end, verse 6, "And now behold, in the midst," everybody say, "in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and the midst of the elders." So if you want to find Jesus, I'm going to tell you where to find him: in the middle of his church. Praise God. Now I know folks say, "Well, I found the Lord here, found the Lord there." But I'm going to tell you the main place you're going to find the Lord is in his church. That's where he was in the second chapter, in the first chapter, in the third chapter, in the fourth chapter, in the fifth chapter of Revelation. He's in his church. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so he was in the midst. And then the Bible said that he looked, John said he looked, and listen to this description. Now, what did he say? He said, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah." John turns and he said, "And stood a," what? "Lamb." Is that a misprint? Huh? Did somebody make a mistake? Well, what happened to the lion? He turns around and looking for a lion, and there's a lamb. Amen. We understand this. It's symbolism, isn't it? Amen. The Lion of the tribe of Judah was a designation saying he's the Messiah. He's the Messiah. That's what that means. But his redemptive nature is to be a lamb. He didn't redeem us as a lion. He redeemed us as a lamb. Amen. And the Bible said that he was standing, a lamb, as it had been slain. When he stands there, he looks like he's been through it. Amen. He's wounded. He's bleeding. The word slain here means violently slaughtered. Like a lamb that was prepared for sacrifice at the temple. But I want you to get the word here. But he was standing. He was standing with his wounds, but he was standing. He went through the crucifixion, but he's standing. He went through the violence of men, but he was standing. Hallelujah. It didn't cause him to perish nor to fall, but he overcame. The word lamb is only used, this word for lamb is only used twice in the New Testament. The normal word for lamb is amnos. This word is arnios. An arnios is a little pet lamb. It's a pet lamb. It's not just a lamb in the field, but it's somebody's pet. The only other time it's used, Jesus, when he told Peter, when he said, "Feed my lambs," hallelujah. He was calling you and me. He said, "You're my pet lamb," amen. You're special, and you're set aside, and you're loved, and you're redeemed, amen. And so when it talks about the lamb, it's in that he was the pet lamb. He was the beloved lamb. And yet he was slain. And yet he was wounded. And still, he was standing. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let me tell you something about this lamb. Look at the next part. It said, "And he had seven horns." You ever seen a lamb with that kind of horns on his head? Woo! I'm telling you, this is a different kind of lamb we're talking about here now. Hey, you know what those seven horns are? The number seven in the Bible represents completeness. So it's saying that he had, and the horn represents power. So it's saying that he had all power. Amen. Isn't that what he said? He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So that tells us this is the omnipotent Savior standing before the throne. I'm telling you today, He still has all power. He had seven eyes, symbolically speaking of omniscience. He had all wisdom. He had all understanding. He had all knowledge. Amen. Speaking of His omniscience. And then it talks here and said He had the seven spirits of God. That speaks of the fullness of God. The full orb deity of God. The Bible teaches us that in Him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's when we sing, it's all in Him. Hallelujah. The fullness of the Godhead, it's all in Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. So here He stands. And then it says He came and He took the book. Now that's a few simple words, but that's a turning point for time and eternity. This is where history has been headed ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden. Ever since first Eve crunched into the fruit, ever since Adam also was beguiled, took the fruit, it's been coming ever since. So it finally arrives, the day of redemption. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when that happens, some things begin to take place in heaven and on the earth. Praise God. There's redemption. He took the book. He was qualified. He had all the qualifications. The Bible said without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And yet, there's no man that can pay that price because every human being has sin in their life and their blood is already stained. Devils couldn't pay that price because their spirits and have no blood. Angels can't pay that price because they're spirits and have no blood. Amen. God Himself could not pay that price because God is a spirit and has not blood. But in the fullness of time, God, Spirit, was manifest in flesh with blood. He took upon Himself. He moved into a form just like mine, just like yours. And He battled the devil and sin for 33 years. And yet He maintained His righteousness, His perfection, and His purity. Amen. And they, in appreciation for that, they nailed Him to a cross. Amen. And that blood ran out of His body and down on the parched earth, and it drank up the blood of the Savior, and the earth shuddered and shook, and the moon, or the sun as it were, drew a veil across its face, and it was dark at noonday, and the moon turned to blood as if it blushed at the hateful and cruel treatment of the Creator itself. All of the earth was in rebellion because the blood of God was being shed. Because of that blood, the Bible said, we have access by the blood. We draw nigh by the blood. Hey, the only reason you and I can pray to God today is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The only reason that we can have our sins washed away is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's just one Redeemer, and His name is Jesus. And when He takes that book, everything's about to get set right. Hallelujah. Finally, the hands are in somebody that can do something about it. Now, we're going to see what happens as those seals are broken here in just a little bit. Amen. We won't get to it tonight, but we'll get to it soon. Amen. Praise the Lord. And as immediately, this is interesting, immediately, after that happened, the Bible said, verse number 8, and when He'd taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders and 20 and 4 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. You know what I think's interesting? When you go to heaven, you can't take gold with you. Streets are made out of that. We're going to be walking on gold. Precious stones. Did you know that each one of the 12 foundations is going to be about 125 miles high? And there's 12 of them? Hey, can you imagine an emerald that's 125 miles high and 1,500 miles that way and 1,500 miles that way and 1,500 miles that way and 1,500 miles this way? That's a pretty good emerald, isn't it? What do you suppose that would be worth? There's not enough money in the world to find out. And then there's a Sardis stone, a ruby like that. And then there's diamond like that. And it's all just stacked up. And that's just the walls of where we're going. There's 12 gates, and each one of those huge, humongous gates. Amen. You got a wall 125 feet tall. You got a pretty good gate to get in there. Otherwise, it's going to look funny. Amen. And each one of the gates is made out of one single solitary pearl. Amen. Hey, all this stuff that means so much to people down here, it doesn't mean anything up there. But you know what's going to be valuable? Everybody's going to have a harp. We're going to take our worship to heaven. I can't take my bank account, in my case my credit cards, but I can't take that to heaven. Amen. But I can take my heart. I can take my worship. I can take my praise. Amen. You know what else is in heaven? Prayer. Amen. Somebody said, we're going to pray in heaven? No. But all the prayers you got right now, have a prayer you prayed in your lifetime. Have a prayer my sweet mama prayed. Have a prayer my father prayed. It's going to be precious in heaven. They have not perished. Not one of them has fallen by the wayside because prayer is valuable to God. I'm telling you, prayer means something. Amen. Everybody knows the most popular song ever been written is White Christmas. It's been sold more copies than any other song in history. White Christmas. Do you know what song's been recorded the most times? Amazing Grace. Just in the history of recording, it's been recorded over 6,000 times. Amen. There's something about that song, isn't there? You know why it strikes a chord? Because we're redeemed. Hallelujah. And we were redeemed by grace. By grace are you saved. Amen. Through faith. Not by works, lest any man should boast. By grace. By grace. By grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so when we get to heaven, prayer's going to be there. I'm going to feel right at home because prayer's there. I'm going to feel right at home because worship is there. I'm so glad heaven's not going to be dead and dull and dry and boring. I'm so glad heaven's not going to be like a lot of churches. Amen. Well, you know, you got polar bears in the pews and an icicle in the pulpit, you know. Amen. I'm glad. I've heard people say, well, you know, what I read about heaven, it's noisy up there. So if you're nervous, you might not want to go. Well, you do want to. But, amen. Heaven's going to be a noisy place. Heaven's going to be a busy place. So if you're lazy and don't like activity, it's not going to be a place for you either. Amen. It's going to be a busy place. I don't know about you, but I like to be busy. Amen. I don't know that I understand the word bored. I can't remember ever being that way. Especially now. Brother Neil, I got my Bible on my telephone. Amen. If I got a few minutes, I just pull it out and get to reading. Amen. It's right there. You got two Facebook? It's all there. I mean, Facebook. You want to do some research? Amen. Isn't it amazing? What a world. No reason to be bored. No reason to be bored. Amen. The prayer's going to be there. Worship's going to be there. Amen. Jesus is going to be there. Hallelujah. Where Jesus is, that's going to make it heaven for me. Listen, verse 9. It says, and they sung a new song. The word new is kind. There's two words for new in the Greek, naos, which means something that's new but similar. And then you have the word kind, which means something that is completely new in character and kind. It has never existed before. And so it says they're going to sing a kind. They're going to sing a song, a kind of song, that has never been sung before. Hallelujah. I don't know what kind of song that's going to be, but I'm going to be one of them singing it. I've already made up my mind that I'm going to sing that song too. I'm going to be there singing with the others. How about you? You made your mind up that you're going to be up there singing that song? Amen. You know what the song, here's the theme of the song. It's about redemption. This is the song that he said, listen closely, he said, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Now let's examine that song just a moment here. Amen. First of all, the first thing they sing about is they're singing about redemption, aren't they? Amen. Redemption. That's the first thing. "You have redeemed us," they said. And then they're singing about the blood. Praise God. Thank God for the blood. There's power in the blood. "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." We sing about the blood here. We're going to sing about the blood up there. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that redeemed us. Amen. Redeemed us to our God. And then I want you to notice it's a universal song. Amen. He said he redeemed us out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Amen. What is that little song the kids sing? "Jesus loves the little children. Red, what is it? Red and yellow, black and white. Mix them. What is it? Oh, they're precious in his sight." Amen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right. That's it. They're precious in his sight. Somebody said it said, mix them up and watch them fight. That's the way it is in the world, isn't it? Red and yellow, black and white. Mix them up and watch them fight. But Jesus loves little children. That's what folks are doing here. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. Every color is going to be represented in heaven. Every tongue, every language is going to be represented in heaven. Every culture is going to be represented in heaven. Every nation is going to be represented in heaven. Amen. So why not here? Amen. Praise the Lord. I think it's all right to have every color. I think it's all right to have every language. Amen. I think it's all right. If we had every language, we'd have a pretty good sized church. Because there's about 1,200 of them. Just if we had every language, we'd be pretty good. And then we'd have to have 1,500 interpreters. So there's 3,000 right there. Well, anyway. Amen. But when we get to heaven, when we all get to heaven, we're going, aren't we? Amen. Pray. We're going there. Hallelujah. Not going to need an interpreter. Amen. Before the Tower of Babel, there was one language. And when we get to heaven, there's going to be one language. I don't know what it's going to be, but there's going to be one language. And that's all. Praise the Lord. Amen. So this is our song we're singing. Now, I don't want anybody to get upset with me here, please. But I'm going to make an observation. And it's going to cross somebody's theology. Might even hurt somebody's feelings. But it's just a fact. Did you know that the Bible does not talk about angels singing? Angels speak. Angels say. Angels herald, but angels in the Bible don't sing. Now, we talk about the angels' song. We talk about the angels' choir. Dottie Rambo talked about angels teaching mama how to sing. We all talk about angels singing, but the Bible never talks about angels singing. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know why that is. I'm not saying angels can't sing. If God wants them to sing, bless your heart, they're going to sing. And it'd be fine with me. I don't have any problem with angels singing. I'm just saying that it's not in the Bible angels sing. And so the angels, verse number 11, he said, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now you had to figure that out. You know what he's saying? He's saying they're without number. You can't number them. You cannot number them. Amen. And so, you know, men are numbered. These living creatures are numbered. But in heaven, angels are never numbered. They're an innumerable company. There are more of them than you can count. Woo, hallelujah. Isn't that good? You know what angels are? Ministering spirits. So if you need one, the Lord will say, hey, you get right down there and help him. Amen. An angel's going to come along and help. Isn't that right, Brother Neil? They'll come when you need them. Amen. He had a couple of them show up in his hotel room. What was that room? A hospital room. That's what that was. It wasn't a hotel. It was a hospital. Amen. And they showed up. I love to hear the sister tell the story about when she was on trial and she had a Christian school and the state was trying to shut it down. And they were giving her the hardest time. She was going through everything. She just broke her arm. She had a heart problem. She just found out having. And the doctor said, you can't put this woman on trial right now. She'll die in the courtroom. But you know what? They did. They made her go to court. They made her sit right there. And they were trying her case. They were fining her thousands of dollars every day because her school was still open. They were putting her through torment. And that old mean prosecuting attorney's out there, he was just hammering her, just one question after the other. And she just said a short little prayer. She said, oh, I can't take any more. And she said, about that time, she watched her angel stand between her and the attorney. And he said, no further questions, and sat down. Amen. What am I saying? I'm saying when you've had enough, God sends an angel, and they'll just shut up and sit down. They may not know why they did, but they do. Amen. Praise the Lord. When the Lord says enough, there's an innumerable company of angels. That ought to encourage us today. I said that ought to encourage us today. Amen. Praise the Lord. An innumerable company of angels. Now, I want you to notice it. Listen, verse 12, I said they didn't sing. It says sing. Not singing. Sing with a loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb. I want you to notice a difference here. The redeemed are saying personally to him, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to him. The angels are saying about him. You know what the difference is? Angels have never been redeemed. Angels don't know what it's like to be lost and then found. Angels don't know what it's like to be saved. They've never experienced that. They don't know what it's like to fall into a pit of sin and have a kind and loving hand reach down and lift you up and set you free and put your feet on a solid rock. They don't understand that. So they can't sing that song, Brother Neil. Amen. And they can't really sing to him. We sing to him. They say about him. About him. He said, and it's worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. That's called the doxology. Amen. And all of that praise that's been given to him. Did you get that? Everybody say power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. That's a lot of blessing, isn't it? Praise the Lord. That's a lot of blessing they're pouring out. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I say. Woo, hallelujah. The fish join in. And the birds join in. And the beasts of the field join in. And the insects in the soil join in. Amen. And the frogs on the lily pad joins in. Saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 4 and 20 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm talking about redemption. Oh, I want to be redeemed. How about you? Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God I've been bought back. Heard a little story many years ago, and I'm closing, about a little boy. He made him a little boat, took it down to the water, and started sailing his little boat. Had a little string attached to it. Somehow the string came unattached, and the wind blew his little sailboat out of sight. He stood there and watched it go. He couldn't get it. One day, he was walking past a store. He looked in the window, and lo and behold, there was his boat. He ran into the store, ran up to the person in the store and said, Hey, he said, that's my boat in the window. And they said, Well, how do I know that's your boat? You say it's your boat. Can you prove it's your boat? He said, Well, no, but it's my boat. He said, Well, if you'll pay the price, you can have it back. So he went home and got into his savings and worked a few odd jobs and prayed nobody to sell it. Amen. Went down after a little while, had the money, ran back down there, and he bought his boat. And he walked out of there carrying that boat so proudly. And he said, You're really mine now. He said, I created you, and then I bought you. Amen. Twice bought. We are his by creation, and we are his by redemption. He not only created us, but he bought us. And he set the price, and then he paid the price. He set the price so high, no one else could ever pay it. And then he came in fullness of time, paid the price so he could redeem us. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if we know this old song. It's been in my head here. Maybe it's in my head. We'll find out when I start trying to sing. Sometimes I get started and then I forget the words. Anybody ever have that problem? Amen. We used to sing, I'm redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign, 'cause I have been redeemed. Oh, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Oh, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now resign. Oh, I have been redeemed. Amen. I'm probably in the key of Z, sister, if you know where that is. Amen. I started the other night, and Sheree finally found me. She said, Dad, you were in the hardest key on the piano. I said, Well, it didn't seem hard to me. Amen. It's what happens when you sing by the letter. You know, I just open my mouth and let her fly. Amen. Unfortunately, you can't play like that. You got to play in keys and stuff. Amen. Well, we're redeemed. Anybody glad to be redeemed tonight? Let's stand together. Hey, heaven's going to be about redemption. That's how it's all going to start. We're going to see our Redeemer. Amen. John's, first of all, he saw him in his glory. But then he saw him as the lamb slain. He saw him as the lamb slain. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not altogether sure why the Lord selected a lamb. I think a lamb is probably one of the most helpless things in the world. I mean, they can't bite very well. They can't see very well. They don't have sharp claws. They're not very strong. They're just one of the most weak, defenseless, vulnerable creatures on the face of the planet. And yet God chose that as a symbol. I kind of wonder maybe if he was trying to tell us, you know, my weakness, the weakest I can be, is so much greater than my enemy. So much more stronger than any competition. In my extreme weakness, amen, I'm greater and stronger than anything else in the creation. And that he is. And that he is. We've been redeemed. Aren't you glad for redemption tonight? I think we ought to turn our face and hands up to the Lord right now and just give him thanks, shall we? Jesus, I can never thank you enough. I can never praise you enough. I suppose that's what eternity is going to be for. So I can give a good shot. I can try. Amen. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to serve you. Amen. Thank you for redeeming us, God. Hallelujah. Thank you for making a way that I can go to a perfect place in a perfected body so I won't mess things up. Thank you, God, for making heaven another shot, another place. Amen. For us, we'll be in glorified bodies and glorified minds, redeemed souls. Amen. That's how you're going to people the planets and all that you've made. We thank you for it and give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do you know what we're going to do in heaven? Do you know what you're going to do in eternity? The Bible said that we're going to rule and reign with him. We're going to govern. We'll get to be the boss. If I get to be the boss, that means that there must be something under me. We're going to study about all this stuff. It's all in the book here. We don't have opportunity to talk about it very often, but we'll get there. You going to hang with me? Amen. We'll get there. Amen. We're going to get there. It's going to take a little time. Hope I'm not boring anybody. Amen. But that's where we're headed. We're going to get there. We're going to show you what it's going to be all about. God has a plan for all this. I don't know that I could handle floating around on clouds, angels standing me and dropping grapes in my mouth. I'd be bored to death. 2 days, I'd go insane. Amen. Even if I like to fish, and I love it so much because I've been once in the last 7 years, so I can barely contain my enthusiasm. God was asking me that. He said, you like to fish? I said, well, yeah. He said, have you been lately? I said, well, no. He said, you like to hunt? I said, yeah, I sure do. He said, when did you go? I said, probably about 20 years ago. I know I went one time. And then I discovered I must be a pretty boring guy. Amen. I like to. I just don't get around to it. I got too much to do. But I like what I'm doing. Is that wrong? Amen. Is it wrong to just enjoy serving the Lord and loving God and having fun? Now, if you like to fish and hunt, I don't mean to be facetious. I'm not preaching against anything here. If you like it, I'm glad. Maybe I'll get to go with you someday. Amen. You probably would want me to, because I'm a great fish repellent. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God's good. Redeemed. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Thank you today, Jesus, in your precious name. God, we thank you for the sacrifice you made and the price that you paid to redeem us from our sins. Go with us, O God, from this place. Put us the song of the redeemed in our heart today, and let us sing it through the night. Let us awaken in the morning with the song of the redeemed in our heart and in our mind. Amen. Let us always remember I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Giving praise and honor and glory both here in time and there in heaven and eternity. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. Amen. We'll see you Saturday at the park or Sunday morning here or somewhere. God bless you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord.